Most motorcycle riders think they can do an iron butt ride right up until hour 14. And that's usually when confidence turns into lower back pain and poor financial decisions. Because somewhere around western Nebraska at 2 in the morning, your brain starts negotiating. Maybe I should just get a hotel. Maybe motorcycles were a mistake. Maybe covered wagons actually had a point. And somehow, I looked at the official Iron Butt Association Saddle Sore 1000 challenge and thought, yeah, I could probably do that. The plan is simple. Ride over 1,000 miles in under 24 hours. Document everything correctly. Stay safe. Do not hallucinate elk. Try not to become one of those guys on the internet who says, bro, I did 1,400 miles with no brakes on a rigid chopper in a snowstorm. Sure you did, Kyle. Today, we're planning my first Iron Butt attempt on my 2023 Harley-Davidson Road Glide ST. And after one ride a few years ago where I nearly gave up 120 miles from home, I'm honestly not sure if this is confidence or unresolved trauma. Welcome along for another hangout, everyone. In our hangouts, we discuss stories from the saddle, motorcycling experiences, and biker-related topics.
Let's get to it.
If you're new here, welcome. Around here, we don't just ride, we go a little deeper. I've always respected long-distance riders because endurance riding is weird. It's not fast, it's not flashy, nobody at a bike night sees your fuel receipts and starts applauding. It's basically competitive hydration with emotional damage.
Emotional damage!
But there's something about setting a difficult goal that forces you to learn about yourself. And unlike a lot of internet motorcycle culture, you can't fake an iron butt ride. The clock doesn't care, your body doesn't care, your attention span definitely doesn't care. You either manage yourself correctly for 20 plus hours, or you fail. Honestly, I kind of like that. The route I'm planning is Salt Lake to Cheyenne, Wyoming, down to Denver, then back to Salt Lake City. It's right around 1,050 miles. Mostly interstate, mostly efficient, minimal technical riding, which sounds easy until you realize interstate riding for 20 hours is basically psychological warfare with crosswinds, especially through Wyoming. Wyoming has kicked my butt before. Once on the way to Devil's Tower and Mount Rushmore in early May, we got delayed with some mechanical issues and then got caught in a hail and snowstorm.
Well, it feels a little warmer. I can't feel the ends of my fingers.
Yeah,
and my toes are, yeah, they're gone. Yeah, it's like front half of my foot, maybe.
I may have frostbite. Just My battery light's on again.
Is there something wrong with your connection? Well, I hope you can keep starting it up.
You haven't been in wind until you've been in wind in Wyoming. We were between Rock Springs and Rawlins, a little spot called Point of Rocks. There was a gas station and an off-ramp with an underpass below I-80. The temperature was below freezing. The snow wasn't landing on the ground. It seemed to just blow horizontally with the wind. We sheltered under the bridge to figure out what to do as it was getting dark. Rawlins was our intended target that night at a campsite. We were moto camping, and it was 80 miles away. We decided to turn back and shelter in a hotel in Rock Springs. We got up early and attempting to make up the miles we lost to get back on schedule. We walked outside and found the bikes covered in ice, packed up and headed out. I lost a fingernail to frostbite that night and only talk about it every chance I get. On an iron butt, you're fighting wind fatigue, monotony, dehydration, saddle pain, mental burnout, and the growing realization that gas station hot dogs should be legally qualified as survival food. The advantage of this route is simplicity. Fewer navigation mistakes, fewer small towns, fewer stoplights, fewer opportunities for me to accidentally lose 30 minutes buying beef jerky I did not need. A few years ago, we rode to Grand Junction. At the time, I was pretty new to long-distance riding. And on the way back, we made every mistake possible. Not enough brakes, not enough hydration, not enough movement off the bike. By the time we got to Duchesne, we were wrecked. And when I say wrecked, I mean we were actively discussing abandoning the motorcycles entirely. Not the trip, the motorcycles. We were looking around town like, so what's the cheapest used Corolla in this area? And Duchesne is only about 120 miles from home. That ride taught me something important. Long distance riding is not about toughness, it's about management. Because once fatigue really hits, your decision making starts getting weird. You stop thinking strategically and start thinking emotionally. That's dangerous. The Iron Butt Association is very specific about certification requirements. And honestly, I appreciate that. Because without documentation, every guy at a gas station has apparently ridden 3,000 miles nonstop while surviving entirely on black coffee and vengeance. For the Saddle Sore 1000, you need documented start and finish times, witness forms, dated business receipts, route verification, and proof the ride exceeded 1,000 miles within 24 hours. This is not, trust me bro, certification. You have to prove it, which means planning starts before the motorcycle even moves. I'll have printed witness forms, backup charging, route tracking, fuel logs, mile calculations, and receipt verification plans. Because apparently the hardest part of endurance riding is operating a printer correctly at 4 a.m. The ride is won or lost at fuel stops, not on the highway. That surprised me when I started researching this. The experienced riders all say the same thing. Average speed matters more than top speed. Flying down the interstate at irresponsible speeds means nothing if you spend 25 minutes wandering around a truck stop, holding a chocolate milk and questioning your purpose. My goal is simple. Fuel, hydrate, bathroom, go. No hanging around. I'm planning fuel stops roughly every 180 to 220 miles, depending on conditions. And I want every stop under 10 minutes. That sounds easy right now. It will not feel easy at hour 16. The real danger of these rides is not physical pain, it's cognitive decline. Your awareness gets slower, reaction time drops, tunnel vision increases, and the scary part is you often don't notice when it happens. That's why I'm treating this like risk management instead of some macho endurance contest. No ego riding, no trying to push through the dangerous fatigue, no pretending I'm Superman because I watched motivational clips on Instagram. If I get dangerously tired, the ride ends. Period. No certification is worth becoming a highway statistic. Thankfully, the Road Glide ST is probably the best long distance bike I own. Good wind protection, comfortable ergonomics, strong highway stability, and most importantly, it gives me enough storage capacity to carry approximately 17 different forms of ibuprofen. I'll be focused on hydration access, layered gear, ear protection, charging solutions, snacks, visibility, and comfort management. because comfort is not luxury on endurance rides. Comfort is energy conservation. Every little annoyance compounds over time. Wind noise, pressure points, heat, cold, bad gloves, all of it adds up. One thing I noticed researching Iron Butt rides online, there's always a guy acting like it's easy. Bro, just ride. That's usually followed by, I did 1,700 miles in one sitting with no windshield while eating Slim Jims. Cool. You should probably see a medical professional. The reality is, experienced endurance riders are usually the most cautious people in the conversation because they understand the risks. The guys who actually do this successfully talk about sleep, hydration, pacing, route discipline, mental focus, and knowing when to stop, not fake toughness. Real long-distance riders respect fatigue because fatigue always wins, eventually. Honestly, I don't know if I can do this. That's kind of why I want to try. I know I can ride 500 miles every day for several consecutive days. I know I can ride 700 miles. I've done it, and those were tough days. But 1,050 in under 24 hours while staying sharp, safe, and disciplined, that's different. And the part nobody talks about is this. Eventually, the ride becomes mental. You stop fighting mileage, you start fighting yourself. That's the part I'm curious about. So that's the plan. Salt Lake City, Cheyenne, Denver, back home. One day, 1,050 miles, one very questionable life decision. If you've done an Iron Butt ride before, I genuinely want your advice. What's the one thing you learned the hard way? And if you attempted one and failed, what ended the ride? I want to hear the real stories, not the internet superhero versions, because the next video you hear about this might be, I completed my first Iron Butt, or here's how Wyoming emotionally defeated me. Either way, it should make a pretty good story. I'm no stranger to hard riding. I've logged thousands and thousands of miles in some terrible conditions, and after these experiences, I still love it. Hard riding isn't just a phrase. It's lived experience. And when you do it, well, when you know, you know. If you do real distance in unpredictable conditions, eventually you're going to do so. If you would like to hear about some real hard riding, stick around and hang out a while longer by clicking this video. If you'd rather get out there on the road, this video is for you. Bikes aren't just fun. Sometimes they test you to the core and show you what you're really made of. See you out on the road.